You're listening to episode 13 of the Mad Chatters podcast, December 24th, 2014.
Most everyone's mad here.
Merry Christmas Eve, if you are listening to this the day it was released, or if you're like a person who is not our biggest fan, then it's probably sometime in 2015, in which case, hey.
Happy Epiphany.
That too. My name is Derek, and you're listening to the Mad Chatters Podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney Universe. And here with me on this fine evening are Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
Ciao.
All right, well, Matt, I got a confession to make. I still haven't watched the small one, but
oh my goodness,
I know. I'm sorry.
You got 3 days, like 4 days.
I know, but it's just so long.
No, it's like 20 minutes.
I know. I'm just kidding. But Jeremy,
you can watch it in the bathroom.
You need to have your bowels checked if you're in there for 20 minutes.
Well, let's move on. Jeremy, I think you did
a lot of
it.
Cheese this time of year. Yeah, I did, and I enjoyed it, Matt. I did. I remembered as soon as it started, I do remember watching it as a child. I'd forgotten that I had seen it. Oh. And it is very tender and touching. And the song in it, I was humming it just a few minutes ago, and so I wouldn't forget it, but now
like
I can't.
Like the theme song or the little?
Yeah, yeah. The theme
small
song.
One.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's very nice. I like that. And you're right. I didn't cry, but it was very emotional. So, if you love Jesus and you love Disney, you need to watch the small one.
And really? Donkeys.
Yeah. And it has Jesus in it.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Not
cameo.
Really, but.
He's a cameo. He pops in like, hey, how y'all doing?
He's uncredited, but it's.
The Lord Jesus as himself.
It involves the Christmas story as it pertains to Christ.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's kind of a Lord, what's the name of that play? Guildenstern, whatever. Never mind. Move on.
I'm lost. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind
of. Well, it's on the top of my list of things to do this week is watch that video. So.
As well as.
Clean my apartment.
And.
No, I don't know where you're going.
Unlikely Angel.
Oh. It comes on tomorrow morning. My DVR is set for 10 a.m.
That good. Tells so, you something. It comes on Lifetime at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. Well, I don't even know if it's as high as Lifetime. It's like CMT or something.
I will just...
Gertrude Myrtle, they're watching it. And Jeremy. Jeremy's watching it.
I will get you all the DVDs so you can watch it anytime you'd like.
All right, on today's episode, we're going to be doing another Mad Cute Party. We've got 10 questions that we've come up with that we want to ask each other, and we're going to see what our fun answers are. But before that, we're going to do another round of the good, the bad, and the ugly. For this round of the good, the bad, and the ugly, we're going to focus on Sunset Boulevard in Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is really close to the entrance there. So, let's start with the good. And Jeremy, why don't you take it away?
Well, my good for Sunset Boulevard, of course, Sunset Boulevard there in Disney's Hollywood Studios, right to the right when you enter into the park, well, when you walk down Hollywood Boulevard. My good is... different, because I think I know what you two are going to say, so I chose something different, and I chose the Rock and Roller Coaster. The reason why is it's just a fun attraction. I like the outside of the building with the large guitar that the strings end up going, and you actually have one of the ride vehicles there that you pass under, so that's kind of a fun thing. Always a good place for a good photo op as well.
You know what's fun about that thing is how many stupid people stop and ask if that's the ride.
That is true.
No.
Like, if that's the real ride. Oh, yes. It happens.
It's not moving.
This is why they are stupid.
You are giving way too much credit, Derek, to the American general public. But anyhow.
Now, does the guitar pick still say Haynes on it, or do they have a new sponsor now?
Last time I was there, it still said Haynes. All right. So.
That makes it really classy.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Aerosmith fan. However, I do, you know, I can jam to them every now and then. Yeah. So I enjoy the Q. A couple of their songs are nice. And the only thing I don't like about the Q is the old retro, like Miley Cyrus, Disney posters. I think those need to be updated a little more. The other thing I hate about this Q is the marble doors. Why? I want to find the Imagineer that thought that was a good idea and just make him sit there for 12 hours just listening. Because everyone feels the need to walk by and touch it. And listen, I'm guilty. The first time I was there, I did it as well. But
there's
why?
There's a responsible way to touch it.
Oh, boy.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
There's a responsible way to feel the marbles and, like, I'm just saying, there's a way that's respectful to those around you.
Yes, and not many people choose that way, unfortunately.
Yes, they just make a lot of unnecessary noise, and mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of unnecessary noise. But I love the pre-show, despite how corny it is. It's definitely one of those things that has grown on me.
Wait a minute.
Without the pre-show, I don't know what the ride would be. Like, that is just such a wonderful... Again, it just grows on you.
Hey, Jeremy, you like when the cast members draw on the sidewalk and draw an unnecessary crowd. Do you like when the people in the that pre-show like talk back like it's an interactive show? How about some free passes? You heard that before?
That's great.
Yeah, I actually like that.
I would so do that if I could.
Every time I do it, I'm like, stop it.
If well, I were that's clever the way, enough,
now,
I would do it.
Now, hold on. That's the way it was from the beginning. They had the people that talked back. That's why he turns and says
I might do like one line. Some of them do like multiple things.
Okay,
like,
I don't want them.
You're done. It's a screen.
I don't want them to freestyle. But did you know?
They used to have that cast member come in
and get the guitar. During the pre-show there when Aerosmith is like, hey, will you grab my Black Les Paul? There used to be an actual cast member that walked through the door and would walk in there and grab the guitar and walk out. You talk about a boring job sitting there every 10 minutes.
Hey, but you know what's funny?
I would miss my cue so often.
That provides a great moment in that little pre-show because you can tell that they had planned to do that. So when the guy comes in and tells whatever his name is to ask for the guitar, when he like pats him on the back, is like, I'll get it for you, man. It's like so obvious.
Yeah.
Well, he's about to come out that door.
Yeah, you're right.
but he does not, because we can't afford that anymore.
Yeah, that's another employee you got to pay.
Then the doors open. You walk into the alley, which is very well themed and very nice. And you load your into your coaster, and it is a great ride. In fact, the only ride that goes inverted in all of Walt Disney World. So that's a fun fact for you there. The takeoff is, without a doubt, the best part of the ride. The 0 to 60 in however many seconds into the first inversion. But I just think it's a great attraction. There were some talks a couple years ago about Aerosmith ending their contract with Disney and what would come next for the Rock and Roller Coaster. At the time, it was floating around like a Jonas Brothers or a Miley Cyrus. And I was like,
awful.
No.
I would never ride it.
Again. I would burn that thing down. Thankfully, that
Aerosmith
did not happen.
I'm not like a big fan, but I like their music a lot more than most classic rock bands. But they're a good choice. I wouldn't say they're family friendly, but
no,
of all the choices I could like think of maybe Kiss, and they're kind of scary, you know.
Yeah.
Queen.
I would say Kiss is a little more.
Queen would be good.
Kiss nowadays is more family friendly than back when they started.
Kiss
but,
would be great. Now I just got really excited. That would be great.
Instead of going through like the Hollywood sign, you go through like Gene Simmons' mouth with the tongue.
Oh, they can keep it all the same. Just switch the bands out. You know, with the I want to rock and roll all night. That would be great. That's a great song for that attraction. Hey, Disney,
that certainly
listen up.
Is. Yeah,
listen up. Kiss.
But you know, like the songs they play are great as well. Walk This Way and Love in an Elevator and
Sweet Emotion.
Sweet Emotion. I don't want to close my eyes, whatever that is.
Yeah.
They don't play that one on the ride.
No.
No, but and then at the end you get out and you're on the red carpet and they're, you know, the finale and they're cheering. And again, it's kind of corny, but it's great. So
you can buy $20 drumsticks with Rock and Roll.
$20, yes.
Yeah. All right, well Matt, what's your good for Sunset Boulevard?
I avoided the two obvious ones, Rock
and
Roll.
Well, good. I'm going to go straight for the obviously.
Well, I knew somebody would, and I just think those are just two givens. Like, when you have a park and your two, like, main attractions are there, you know, I'm just going to let you have that. Going to say for my good is the Sunset Ranch Market.
Okay.
Which is that outdoor food court-y kind of thing where you go to there's different places that offer different kinds of food, pizza, mm-hmm. barbecue, I think, burgers and hot dogs and that stuff, turkey legs, ice cream.
Right there on the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right before you turn left to go Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, it's almost hidden. I didn't even know it was there until about the third trip.
Hollywood Studios lacks in good dining options. We ate at that backstage place last night, and it was pretty good. I remember that one is good. But Sunset Ranch Market, you can always find something. You can go there with a big group. Everybody can find something they like. And I really like that outdoor kind of backlot Hollywood studio. Kind of it gives that kind of feel to the whole place. Like, this is where the people are getting off work to come eat. It kind of has that whole feel to it. So I enjoy that. They have a gourmet hot dog place. And one of them has a hot dog with macaroni and cheese on it and truffle oil. And it is pretty good.
Sounds just like the typical Disney menu item. Just add something to macaroni and cheese or add macaroni and cheese to something else.
Well, yeah, it's food trucky, like, yeah.
Is there, did that not used to be something like a McDonald's fries right there? Or like a Fairfax fries or some kind of French fry?
No, it probably was, because they had McDonald's. They had McDonald's stuff, you know, like the Golden Oak Outpost, was that it?
Yeah, that's still
used
open.
To be that. Frontierland.
That's still open.
But it used to be like a McDonald's fry place.
Well, there's a place right by the Sunset Market Range, so it's called Fairfax Fair, or... Yeah, I think it's Fairfax Fair, F-A-R-E.
Okay,
yeah. So I wonder if that used to be. Yeah.
Now, I think that's, I don't know. When I looked up the dining options at Hollywood Studios online, they all listed them as separate places. And each one does have its own name. But that whole area, including the produce stand and all that, is called the Sunset Ranch Market.
Okay.
I just like that whole, at nighttime especially, it's nice to grab a quick bite there before going to Fantasmic or whatever. So that is my good.
That's a good pro tip. Grab your food there. Don't try and get it in Fantasmic because the lines be crazy in Fantasmic.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I'm going to go for the obvious because I feel like you can't talk about this area without talking about the amazingness that is the Tower of Terror. From the very beginning of the queue when you walk in those gates up around the old fountain that's run down with the creepy music and the great lobby that they don't have to dust because it's supposed to look like that. The great pre-show, the boiler room, the ride itself, which is my favorite attraction at Disney World. And just staring at the tower from the outside, I feel like everything about it is so great, especially for what the theme of Sunset Boulevard is supposed to be, Hollywood in that time period. That hotel at the end of the street just seals the deal. You know, it really brings it around nicely. So that's my good.
Yeah, Tower of Terror was like, it was like the first. It was like Disney's entrance into the modern theme park era in 1994. Yeah. It was like their first big, like, scary thrill ride. Yeah. It was really the first ride of its kind anywhere as far as the amount of theming and detail and just the size of the whole thing.
Yep.
And it kind of set the precedent.
All right, well, you guys want to go the opposite order, and I'll do my bad. My bad is kind of vague, but it's how they use the space they have. And I'm talking specifically about all the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have kind of, I mean, really good facades, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They have the old Carthay Circle Theater, much like Disney California Adventure got not too long ago. They have the Villains in Vogue store, which the writing is like that old 1930s, 1940s Hollywood. And now the billboards are on Hollywood Boulevard, right?
They're on top of the buildings, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's not a facade. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is they have all these great facades, but they're all stores that sell, like, the same generic merchandise. I mean, Villains, you could have a store really devoted to Villains. Maybe there's, like, a corner of it that is, but I feel like it's mostly generic stuff. And then they got the Once Upon a Time store is where the Carthay Circle Theater is. And once again, the same kind of stuff. I feel like there could be a whole store devoted to... Oh, and the Planet Hollywood thing. That's a store too. And it's like, they have all this great space. They could...
Let me just jump in with you because my bad is shopping. Just the shopping in general.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to have that many shops, do something movie-specific that makes you feel like you're in a studio's theme park.
And that, I mean, not to just jump on the Carthay Circle thing that California Adventure did, but in any of those places, Hollywood Studios needs some really decent table-service restaurants.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Any one of those stores, maybe, well, at least once upon a time.
Does anybody even buy Planet Hollywood stuff if they go to Disney Hollywood? Why would you go there and buy that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so that's my bad.
We walked around a little bit last night at Hollywood Studios and went down to those shops. I do like the once upon, that's the more Disney-ish store at the very end, right? In the Carthay Circle. That I kind of like that one. I don't care for the Villains in Vogue or the Candy Place or the Planet Hollywood place. They're just, it seems like they could offer some more specific merchandise. Maybe in this whole renaissance of attraction and like place-specific merchandise, we'll get some good stuff there.
I hope so.
The shops were also my bad. And because I agree, I love the facades. In fact, I read a blog, it's been a few years ago, that showed pictures in Hollywood that all those buildings were based on. Oh, all those facades are based on. And some of them are no longer existent, but the facade is based on it. Anyways, so it was really cool. I don't want to get rid of them because I think they do look nice and they're very – they fit the theme very well. However, they lost me when they started with Villains in Vogue taking over Vinylmation. Because before Villains of Vogue actually was a villain store, you could go in there and find some really unique villains merchandise. Like when we, you know, 2007, 2008. Now Vinylmation has totally taken it over. The only thing villain-esque, I guess you could find, is some Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, if you're into that. But even that is starting to disappear more and more.
Yeah,
I did notice. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I do agree that the other side shops there are pretty useless. There's really nothing in there that appeals to me or anyone, I don't think. Yeah. The only thing that I do kind of like that the Planet Hollywood provides is there is some unique and hidden movie props in those stores that you know, if you go in there and look for them, you'll find them if you're into, like, finding movie props and things. I also like, is it Jelly Roll? Not Jelly Rolls, but what's the Starring Rolls? Around the corner there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The little bakery. You know,
yeah, back in the day, from what I understand, that the theme used to be those were struggling actors trying to make it that worked there. And they would sing and they would perform.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, because they were performers, Disney had to pay them as performers.
Oh,
and
so the union.
They stopped that. Yeah. They stopped doing that.
Love the unions.
But, you know, that would have been fun. So I think they could redo something like that, maybe not being performers or whatever. But kind of the same way. What's that cafe in New York where the
I was just going to say that. Starlight something. Stardust. Yeah. Starlight.
Is it Ellen's? Ellen's Stardust Diner?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Good job.
Maybe they could partner with Ellen. Call up Ellen and get a table service restaurant down here in
Ellen. Yeah.
Not that Ellen. Okay. Ellen of Stardust.
If we got a new table service restaurant, that's not exactly the first idea I had in mind of all the waitresses and waiters singing to me, but I guess it would fit the theme. So,
No, I think I would love to see something in the same vein as the Carthay Circle in California Adventures of that just 1930s classic, beautiful, you know, romanticized version of Hollywood.
Yeah, and it fits perfectly down there next to the Hollywood Tower Hotel. Like,
exactly.
This is where your ritzy kind of people would step out at night to go get a bite to eat, you know? That'd be really nice. Mm. Yeah.
So we kind of all agree that it looks great, but they're not using this space like they should.
Yeah. Hope that when they do the redo, cross our fingers that's happening as big as we think it will, that something will happen down there.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, Matt, you want to start us off? What's your ugly?
My ugly is Beauty and the Beast live on stage. I'm just done. I've been done with that thing since. I can't take it. If it was indoor, nice production, more Broadway than Fantasyland, you know, like we talked about the Beast costume being a bit much. And
I'm the Beast!
I mean... A boom, ba dum, ba dum, like Barney and Dinosaur.
I love you, Belle.
Running out
Come
there.
Over here.
Just everything. I mean, I don't even know how to improve that show. I would just axe it and put something else, like Tangled Yes. Or just like a I don't really know. What do you do there that would fit with the theme of Sunset Boulevard and kind of classy and musical, but also
do a live,
you know, work
performance
some
of Sunset Boulevard?
There you go.
I am big. No, I agree. That was my ugly as well. And
really?
The show, well, the show has run its course. You know, yeah. I'm ready for something new there,
for sure.
Which is why I'm ready to accent. Especially since now you have Enchanted Tales with Belle and the Magic Kingdom. Which, you know, if you don't do or don't like that show, it definitely is better than the live on stage yeah. version that they have. I
wow,
would like
that's
to see.
Something.
Yeah, the whole mirror effect. I can't get over the mirror effect. It blows me away every time. Mm-hmm. Anywho, I would like to see maybe like a Newsies type show to go on that stage that would still fit that kind of 30s feel. And you could even include, you know, you could expand it to include like Mickey Mouse or something, you know, to that effect, or other Disney characters in there, but have the Newsies as background dancers or involved in the theme in some way.
Sounds a lot like Mickey and the Magical Map, but instead of the painters, you would
yeah,
have.
That's kind of.
Well, have you guys seen, I don't even know the name of the show. It was it's the one they do in Tokyo, Disney. It's a stage show it's kind of like a narrative through Walt's life. But it features the characters like as they were being created and invented and stuff.
Nice.
I don't know what it's called. Go look it up. And okay. I might be wrong, but it's kind of based on like Walt came to Hollywood and he did these things and here's Mickey Mouse and he comes out. That would probably be appropriate, like a kind of Disney review kind of deal.
That would be really nice. They have that little like newsy show at California Adventures. And I know we keep referencing that, but anyways, and the song there, Suitcase and a Dream. Mm-hmm. That they sing with the
and a dream.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
Insert it here. Anyways,
pause.
So I think maybe even you could use that same song as a jump off point, like a starting point. Like Walt arrived in Walt Disney or in California in the 20s.
Walt Disney World. Here
maybe
he is
in the middle of the swamp in 1920 in Walt Disney World. Anyways, I think that would be a good start point for a nice show that could be fun. And like I said, I like the idea of the creating the Disney characters.
I also think they should enclose it. And well, I mean, it's got the Hollywood Bowl kind of feel is what they were going for.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So maybe they should keep that. I don't know. But
I think they should keep it because it's not as hot in there as what you think because half of it is covered. Well, most of it is covered. And they have some pretty good fan ventilation
they
in there.
They do special things in there, like presentations for like when there's band competitions. So I'm not talking about that, but it would be really nice if they offered American Garden Theater, like Epcot style entertainment over there in the evenings. Maybe they stop running the regular show at dusk, and then in the evenings, it's like bands will come or orchestras or like, you know.
Like Hanson and Sister Hazel and all those popular bands.
Right,
today.
Right. I don't mean that kind
or,
of thing.
Or what about like big band music from
well,
that.
That's what I meant. Like swing band kind of stuff. Maybe even
Miller.
Dance hall kind of swings. That's a great idea.
That is really good, actually.
That would be wonderful. That would be so much fun. Because I have always thought if I was head monies, I would open a nightclub like Ricky Ricardo in I Love Lucy in this present day. Because I think there's enough people that would come and just want to enjoy big band music and dance.
Definitely.
They would.
Yeah. Well, speaking of music, I'm sorry, but that leads me to my ugly, which is the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh!
And I'm talking.
You're going to axe the whole thing?
No. I didn't say I was going to axe it. It's just.
Well, I thought that's what ugly was.
Ugly is bye-bye.
Well, I love the attraction. Don't get me wrong. But what about 1930s Hollywood Boulevard makes you think of a giant guitar at the end of a street? I'm talking design only. Right here.
I do agree with that in the sense that if you're going to turn it into a Buena Vista Street sort of
themed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like then something needs to be done to it.
That's what I'm talking
its
about.
Current state though, it does not have that theme. The current state is modern day Hollywood that still has that classical feel because
how
even
do
you though
know
you
that?
Have but because look at it, even though you have the Tower of Terror, it's not current day Tower. I mean, it's not 1930s Tower of Terror that you're entering.
Right.
You're stepping into the remains of a 1930s.
It's just kind of confused. I don't know why they put that over there in the first place, if that was just the room they had. But Maybe if they shifted the entrance and the entrance was from somewhere else and it came around into that courtyard.
Yeah, I just feel like if that was built today when Twitter was around, people would be like, what the crap are they doing at the end of Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah,
adding this
right.
atrocity of a car upside down flying through and then the big Aerosmith name on the side of the guitar.
Well, I understand it in the sense, like, if you look at it as modern-day Hollywood and it's on a working set or working lot, which is kind of what it's supposed to be in this sort of fantasized Hollywood, I can see why having a recording studio makes sense there in Hollywood. Because you have the movies, you have the music. I get it to an extent. I do. I'm not disagreeing with you. But I do like the idea of putting the entrance on the other side and entering from maybe around back behind the animation courtyard or something like that, and then closing off Sunset Boulevard and making it a period style.
Yeah.
But
because I feel like they've put themselves in a corner at this point. If they wanted to do a redo of the whole park and make that more themed like old time Hollywood, Rock and Roller Coaster is just like a cramp in that plan. You know, it's really gonna mess
it really
up things.
Is. I need to look at like an overhead map and see what they could do.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Google
you do
maps
that. You email them, let them know, give them your ideas.
I'll draw like lines. This is where your entrance should be.
Dear John Lasseter.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have another Mad Q party, so stay tuned.
Woohoo!
It's time for another Mad Q party, and just like last time, we're going to take turns asking these 10 questions and hear each other's answers, so let's just kick it off, and Jeremy, why don't you get us started? What's the first question?
This question was inspired by a discussion we had a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Great Movie Ride, and we brought up the fact that people have had special event dinners in the attraction, as well as there at, I think Derek said Haunted Mansion and things. Anyway, so this question is, if you could attend a special event dinner on any attraction, where would you want to be at? Let me try that again. Here we go. If you could attend a special event dinner on any attraction, where would you want it to be? Matthew, go first.
Do you even have to ask?
I knew it.
It's the perfect location.
It is good.
And I've planned out the whole thing.
Ooh.
You go, you check in, you get, you know, privately escorted through the queue, through the caverns, you go down, and they have a little lit, but not like all that's on.
For the record, your answer is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I thought we were talking about Muppets. Go ahead.
The caverns of Muppets.
My answer for most things is Pirates of the Caribbean. You get escorted through the caverns. You go down the stairs where the waterfall is. There's some nice mood lighting. And they have constructed a special platform that sits on the water in that opening scene. Not like a floating platform, because the water's not that deep. They can stabilize it. And that's where your tables are set up, and you're there between the ship and the fortress with the moonlighting and all that. And they turn the cannonball effects off. You don't want that going off.
Cover your drinks. Here it comes.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
That is good.
The menu would be very like medieval times-esque, like turkey legs and like the 10 chalices and that kind of thing. I think that would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I'd pay lots of money to do that.
Okay, I'll go. My answer is dinosaur, because it's just one of the few attractions that I've always wanted to see with the lights on. And I guess they can maybe still dim the lights so it still looks real and you don't see like exit signs and the walls and everything. But I also think human animatronics kind of freak me out a little bit, so I wouldn't necessarily want to be feasting around like all the presidents. So that's why I chose dinosaur. I don't know what the food could be. I guess it could be like caveman turkey legs again.
Ooh,
like legs all around. Isn't that like the paleo diet? Isn't that a big thing right now?
Have your roasted vegetables.
There you go. Anyway,
so I have the feeling that if they turn the lights on in there, I think it would feel like some kind of cheap nature museum somewhere.
Oh, sure.
Like creation museum up in there or something.
Yeah, so keep it dim.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be able to see my food, so.
Do you want to eat by the carnivoresaurus or whatever that is that takes your picture? So like
no.
every Ooh, couple
that kind
of minutes.
Freaks me out just thinking about it.
Every couple minutes while you're eating, all of a sudden it comes down and Matt worships
and
it's
there's
all,
a big there's a big flash.
Watch out! Oh yeah, I think this already exists. It's called T-Rex.
Yeah, you're right. Over in downtown Disney,
they'd be like, "Let's just nix this idea. Go to T-Rex."
Yeah.
My answer is something that is not actually in the attraction, but it's in the exit queue. And that is, you know, when you are done with Space Mountain and you are going by the scenes and the final
yes.
scene is like a little table and with the like a little restaurant and there's the robot butler with the drinks.
Yes.
I want to eat there.
That
at
is
that
so
table.
Smart. Yeah.
Every
so
time
like
I go
a private like, special dinner.
Very
event?
Private.
Yeah, it would just be like me. And,
let's
me
just
and
put
my
you
friends.
Up there.
Yeah. Me and the Mad Chatters. And
the robot butler.
And our robot butler, Rusty. And I would still want the attraction to be open while we dined. And that way, as people go by, they see us they're eating and we can wave at them. And
I don't want that.
No, I was hoping it'd be a two-way mirror so we could make fun of them, but they can't see us.
Oh, we'll still make fun of them, but, you know, they're going on by. They're not going to stop. So
yeah, that's true.
They might crawl over that rail at you if you make fun of them.
That is
I
true.
Feel like we're like exhibits at the zoo at that point.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Watch as they eat their turkey leg. Turkey legs again.
Yeah, on Space Mountain.
Yeah.
It's no, it's going to be like dehydrated ice cream things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Space food. Like Tang and...
Or you can keep all that.
Anyways, no, it would be a nice cooked meal. But I just think it would be fun to sit right there. Every time I ride the attraction, I go by. I'm like, I'd like to sit there and have a drink and enjoy my dinner and watch the people.
I like that.
My I have an honorary answer.
Okay. Ooh.
And that would be on Horizons in the old living room scene where the robot, another robot butler is there cooking in the kitchen. That would be go look it up. It's a great little scene.
All right. Well, there you go. Question number two. What is one Disney film that people would be surprised to know you have not seen? Matthew.
The only one I could think of that would be like, you know, that's a classic Disney film that you just really need to see. And it might not be people in general, but Disney people, is Pete's Dragon. And I own it on DVD, too.
Really?
I just never have watched it. And I don't know if it's just the live action thing that I just don't get into with classic Disney films or unless it's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or what. But Pete's Dragon, I don't know. Have never watched it.
Jeremy?
I just watched it a few years ago for the first time. It does run a little long, in my opinion. They could have cut about 30 minutes out of it, and it would have been just fine. But I actually really liked it. I thought it was kind of, you know, just fun, 1970s.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know.
Yeah. I've always wanted to watch it since I was little, and they have, if you see the Main Street Electrical Parade now, the Elliot float is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
arguably the only float worth keeping out of that whole parade.
Yeah. I was there when I was little and remember it and always wondered what that was and what the movie was. So I don't know why I haven't watched it. Maybe this will be incentive for me to go watch it.
That's what we should all watch these in the next few weeks that we're going to say and then we can give a report back. That's a good
That's
idea.
That's a good idea.
The one I chose, I have seen a lot of Disney movies and it was hard for me to pick one. But even though I've seen bits and pieces of these movies, I feel like I've never seen actually a whole one. And that is, I've never seen any of the Herbie movies. Whether it's like the Love Bug old school or even like the Lindsay Lohan one. And if I'm going to watch one, I'm definitely going to watch the original.
I forgot about the Lindsay Lohan one.
Yeah, me too.
Like Fully Loaded, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's a very appropriate title for a Lindsay Lohan film, I have to say.
Derek
Herbie,
was a singer.
Half-baked. Herbie in jail.
Cars have never really appealed to me in general in my whole life, so a film about a car does not really draw me to it.
No,
period.
You'll like it. You'll like the Love Bug.
Okay, I'll watch the original Love Bug.
Yes.
Is Laurel and Hardy in one of them?
Oh, I don't know.
The old like comedy?
Person. I've never seen them.
I have to remember that.
I know Don Knotts is in one of them, I think.
I haven't seen those either, so you're adding to my list. I haven't seen those either.
It was on Wonderful World of Disney one Sunday night when I was a kid, and we taped it, so I watched that quite a bit off of our recorded VHS, you know.
Yeah, so. Old school.
So what is he, like a magic card? Is he like come? Was he like a, just like alive or whatever?
I mean, he doesn't talk or anything, but like he honks answers to you, and I mean, I don't.
He has
too
a mind
away.
Of his own, right? He drives by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's like a big race that they get into.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is the one that Laurel and I remember seeing this the little snippet of it when I was little, and that the whichever one of that comedy team is the large one with the little Hitler stash, he was drinking a cappuccino, and it made me want to drink cappuccino when I was like four. I remember that specifically.
Well, and if this movie makes me have flashbacks to the Light Motors action stunt Aww. Show, I blame you all for the trauma.
Oh, no. I have seen The Love Bug. I have not seen Pete's Dragon, but my answer is Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, really?
I know.
That is an answer.
I know, and I've always wanted to, but I just feel like, I guess the iconic scenes I already know, and so I just kind of forget that I haven't seen it, but it's definitely one I want to watch soon.
Well, you are in
just one of those. It is one of those that is very, very typical, like, things that Walt just wanted to put in a movie, mm-hmm. and it just kind of happened. So the storyline's not the best, and it doesn't really hold your attention. But the animation is beautiful, and the music is wonderful, too.
Yeah. Matt?
If you could add an interactive hue to an existing attraction, where would it go, and what would it look like? Jeremy, let's start with you.
Well, my answer is it's a small world. And the reason why is because I love cultures and I love learning. And I think it would be fun to have some kind of an interactive thing where as you walk through the queue, you're going to learn about the different countries from the dolls that you are going to see, the children rather, not dolls, the children that you're going to see in the ride. So maybe have the French girl there and she'll give you a little French cultural lesson or whatever as you walk through. And I just think that would be a nice thing. Like a mini world showcase right there in the It's a Small World queue.
Mm. That was exactly my answer.
Oh,
I
wow.
said add displays of the dolls and their costumes. You give a little Mary Blair action, you know, to explain like how they're made and stuff. And you could have little buttons that you push of audio of them saying It's a Small World or maybe just hello.
Sponsored by Rosetta Stone.
Yes, in their language, exactly. So, like, in France, it would be like, bonjour, and then they would say, it's a small world in their language.
That means hello.
Yeah, see, you're learning already. This would be such a great cue. But good idea, Jeremy. I liked it so much that I copied it.
Yeah. That's why we friends. Matt, what kind of interactive cue are you going to put in the Pirates?
Yeah.
Actually, I avoided that one because I was, like, I've already used them too much. But that being said, this could venture over into Pirates because I have selected to put an interactive cue in the Jungle Cruise cue. Ooh. Yeah, and this is going to kind of tag team with number four, so we'll jump to that in a minute. But interactive cue, I was thinking like, you know, very 20s, 30s-ish kind of exploration kind of exhibits. Like little Museum of the Weird kind of thing. That's a Disney reference. Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of feel to it. Not like with scary stuff and cheesy stuff, but I mean like artifacts and weird like photos and interactive little exhibits and things like that. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, shrunken heads.
You know, like the little gags. Like you stick your hand in there and it blows the air, or you look in there and it, I don't know, changes something about the way you look in the mirror. I don't know. Things like that.
Yeah,
that'd
so
be really
it's,
cool.
It's interactive, but it still has that corny feel that the Jungle Cruise is supposed to have.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
Ripley's was the only thing I could think of, kind of just that kitschy, I don't know how to even describe it, exploration kind of feel.
Yep. It fits. I like it.
Because that's a cue. Like, if you get stuck in that thing for 30 minutes,
right.
It's awful.
You're right. I was trying to think specifically of cues that could really use something.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Well, jumping off of that into our next question, if you could add an interactive element to an attraction inside the attraction, not the queue, what would you add, Derek?
Well, this question I think was Matt, and it was similar to a topic we talked about privately a few days ago about Buzz Lightyear's Ranger Spin and Toy Story and how you shoot things. And anyway, so that's what this means. And my answer is the TTA, or the People Mover. I love that attraction as is. I can just sit back and relax. But maybe for the kids, you know, throw in something a little interactive. So first, when you get on, you're going to have a screen where you can select who you want to be your narrator. And it might be like Mickey Mouse or Goofy, but it also could be Fran Drescher or Gilbert Gottfried, who I guess is Iago.
And Neil deGrasse
Tyson. Just because, if you want to torture yourself for 5 minutes, Larry the Cable Guy.
First off, hold on. Neil deGrasse Tyson has a better voice than Gilbert Gottfried and Fran Drescher. And I love Fran Drescher.
If the Larry the Cable Guy's narration on the Cars attraction in California is great. So I'd actually be okay with that one. But
we listened to Welcome to Radiator Springs like in the hotel room
so many times
because it was so funny.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, so you get to pick your narrator. There might be some water guns on there, so that way when you're in the open area, you can just shoot people who are down in the Tomorrowland. There might be some binoculars that you'll have to wipe off with some disinfectant first, but you can kind of see the castle from the TTA as you go by. And, you know, there's that tunnel that's really long that's just nothing. It's just blackness. So I thought there might be some sort of, like, lasers or, like, you could choose from 5 projections that, I don't know, that's going to project something onto the wall as you go by.
Anyway. I literally hate everything about that, what you just
said.
I do, too.
That
I just thought it'd be funny. I don't really want that to happen.
Yeah. You have taken...
You got squirt guns. I was like, Walt would be like... What the heck are you doing?
You have taken like the perfect relaxing ride and turned it into hell. Like
no,
that is
I so- like it.
Because in one car you've got Mickey and in the next car you got Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried's in my right ear, the binoculars are over my eyes, and I'm shooting people in Tomorrowland. I mean, that is perfect.
Okay. All right. Woo. Hey, this attraction, I think if we could just venture off course just for like a second, it could use a nice, I know they just redid it. I think with the inclusion of the Epcot model there in the middle, the original prototype community model thing, it would be great if there were screens, you know, like you said, and like interactive kind of visualizations or just narrations from Walt himself about Epcot. Mm. And what brings this up is because on the anniversary of his death last week, I watched the Epcot TV special when he was talking about Epcot and how it would work. And, you know, the Wedway People Mover was like the primary source of transportation throughout the whole community, from the residential areas to the business area and the shopping district and everything. So, I mean, you got great narration from him about how it would work and what it would do and how it works with the linear induction motors and all that stuff. So, yeah, I could go with you there except for the squirt guns and the binoculars. And Gilbert Gottfried.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it just sucks.
I could not think of a good answer for any of this. The only thing I can think of that I would like to see interactive in an attraction is something where I can throw at that Stitch animatronic in Stitch's Greatest Escape. You know, whether it's
animatronic is the best part.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just that is true. However, it's representation of the whole ride. Oh, I want to throw monkey feces or something at it. Just
monkey feces.
I don't know what I would throw, but that's my answer. Something that I can hate on Stitch with.
Well, I said that mine was going to tag team with my interactive queue, and that is correct because for Jungle Cruise, I would love to introduce, and this is what I meant when I said it could kind of venture over into Pirates and the Tiki Room and really all of Adventureland. And they kind of already have this going on with the High Seas Adventure thing, the Pirate Interactive game. But I would want this to go into the actual attractions. And that is like an Explorer's Book kind of, they could even call it the Adventurer's Club and make lots of Disney fans. And you could pick up your... I know. And they would collect these things. You could pick up your Explorer book and, I don't know, you get some kind of like Harry Potter wand, like interactive pointer or like finder. I don't know how they would do like a radio. I don't know how they would theme it. But you get that. And then the different attractions, you could make different things happen. You rank up points. Now, they need to make the clues actually hard enough to where people actually have to think about it and say, I wonder where that is. And if you get it right, it happens, you rank up points, and you can actually win and take home actual items. Now, to do this, they'd probably have to charge. But Disney is not beyond hard ticketing something, so... and this could go into Pirates, Tiki Room. They could do, like, a whole Magic Kingdom thing and theme it for the different lands. I think that would be... I would love that.
No, I hate that.
No, I like it.
Binoculars and squirt gun.
I smell what you're stepping in. I like it.
For the record, mine was kind of, I mean, mostly a joke. I don't really want those things to happen.
I don't want it to be silly by any means. I would want a nice little explorer's book, you know, like really nice kind of thing that goes with the theme. You check in, you get your thing, you have really, like I said, things you really have to think about and find. And you get, like, one-of-a-kind souvenirs to take home with your points. Specific souvenirs.
All right. Just too much work for me. Yeah. But I want you to do it and win all the prizes.
This coming... Yeah, that's true. Because remember they had something similar, like the adventure books or whatever at Animal Kingdom?
Wilderness Explorers.
And Derek did like the first two and was like, I'm done with it.
I did a lot more than you.
But this goes into the attractions. None of these have yet to go into the attractions and feature interactive elements inside the attraction themselves.
Yep. Well, if you're going to charge me to get on Jungle Cruise, nah, I'm out.
No, you can.
No, you don't pay to get on Jungle Cruise. You pay to participate in this.
Oh,
like, you would go up to the booth and check in and say, like, I would like to participate in the Adventures Club. You get your little pin, you get your little book, you get your little pointer, and they say, and you have the book of clues. And if you can find all of them in this certain amount of time, once again, they're not like the stupid ones at, like, Epcot. Like, go over here at the clock and do this. But, like, really, like, you got to think about it and look for it.
Okay.
Like little riddles.
I'm getting more and more on board.
Yeah. So on Pirates, you're on there, and you use your Finder, Explorer, I don't know, your interactive wand to make certain things happen. And nobody else around you is going to be, like, disrupted by it. Only you would be like, hey, I just made that flower pot fall over, or the chicken croak, or whatever. They don't croak. Crow.
Ribbit.
Yeah.
Maybe they that's will unique. With your magic wand.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. All right, number five. What nation would you like to see added next to World Showcase, and what would go in the pavilion?
What would be it? What would be it at?
My answer is I would like to see Australia added to the World Showcase.
That's a good answer.
And in Australia, of course, I'm going to add a restaurant, and it's going to be kind of like an Outback kind of a feel, an Outback Steakhouse with a Bloomin' Onion, because Americans...
Of course.
Americans associate Bloomin' Onions with Australia, so you have to have it whether it's true or not.
What if they had, like, authentic Australian food, Aboriginal and British?
Vegemite.
What is more authentic than a Bloomin' Onion?
Like, kangaroo?
I don't think they eat them there, but...
They eat shrimp? Them?
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie?
Shrimp?
Shrimp on the Barbie is good, yeah. They eat kangaroo.
Okay, we'll have an authentic Australian restaurant with a Bloomin' Onion and a kangaroo burger and some shrimp on the Barbie. And
okay, anyways, I am sold.
Some Foster's beer there as well for sale. Anywho.
For the non-Baptists.
Yes. Well, I just think Foster's Australian for beer.
Yeah, I think all these things would be like if an American made Australia a pavilion.
I know.
Outback and Foster's.
Australians, like, run there and then just walk by and shake their heads. They're like, oh, no.
A meet and greet with Crocodile Dundee.
But, anywho, I would also add a ride, and it would be, like, a ride through the Australian Outback kind of a feel where you'd be in, like, a Jeep kind of vehicle going through. I don't know exactly the storyline or what you would see. I thought about the maybe what do they call that Ayers Rock or whatever that is, the giant thing out in the desert would be kind of a fun feature in the ride. But the ride would be hosted by the rescuers and
how sweet.
The guy I forget his name, but the rescuer in the Rescuer Down Under is not Bernard and Bianca, but the other guy. The guy who's Australian, the kangaroo rat. And so they would host your adventure through Australia's outback and whatever that would be, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, Bob Newhart's still kicking. He could do the voice.
He could.
Bernard.
He could.
I don't know who did the other guy.
I don't know either. But also, you know, maybe you could have it even like the Sydney Opera House as part of the decoration of, you know, the whatever. Anywho.
Yeah, I could see a Rapids ride working well for Australia, or like a little a small Flume ride too.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Australia
would be good Australian
choice.
Outback, yeah.
Yeah.
And underrepresented in the World Showcase. I had a couple other answers.
Not represented at all.
Not represented at all, you're right. But I didn't know what you all were going to say, but I have one or two other answers that if you don't say, I'll add at the end.
All right.
Okay.
What's yours, Matt?
Well, that I didn't even think about Australia. I was trying to think of unrepresented continents. Because you got lots of European nations. I mean, like,
right. They're
all European nations. North American, obviously, you got that covered. There are, and I forgot about Australia completely because it's like its own country and continent. You cover all the bases. And Antarctica, you know, nobody's really going to do that. Nobody lives there, right?
This is not Happy Feet.
South America does not have any representation. And I have put, I don't want to take anybody's, I put three down. I'm just going to stick with the one that's been rumored. First of all, did anybody put South American countries down?
No.
Okay, good. So I'll just say them. First of all, the one that's been rumored for a long time that I was a fan of from the get-go is Brazil. I mean, that gives itself. You've got rainforests. Yeah. You've got Brazilian steakhouse. So you got like an Ohana-style restaurant with the meat skewers. I mean, you can't beat that.
No, I'm there.
You got Rio. You got the what's the name of the statue of Jesus on
Christ the Redeemer.
Yeah, you got that. You could have as your like focal point. That might be a little overtly religious, but that or our other friendly South American nations such as Argentina or Chile.
Yeah,
those would be great. All have good food.
Mm.
In Chile, you got what's the mountains they have?
Andes.
The Andes mountains. Yeah, and the what's the
Andes mints for dessert?
Yeah, you go. The clothing company that's named after that Patagonia. In Chile.
Oh.
That kind of wilderness kind of thing. But Brazil would be the best by far. But
it makes
the
most sense. I'll give you that.
If you do Argentina, though, there has to be a Casa Rosada that you can stand on the balcony.
Listen to you all Spanish.
And you have to be able to stand on the balcony and...
No.
Be a Vita.
No.
That would be awesome.
It would be the highlight of my experience,
you
for
could
sure.
Go, you could just go live there, yeah, on your little balcony. Pretend you're...
That's where a dinner could be, a special event dinner.
I think it was Evita who said, the hater's going to hate.
Yeah.
So.
Verbatim. Quote.
Or Taylor Swift, one of the two. I don't know.
Okay, my answer that I thought about before is Greece.
Yes.
Because even though it is in Europe, like many of the other countries represented, it is very much its own nation with its own culture, background, especially its own history with the ancient Olympics. And, of course, the Parthenon would have to be the main, you know... size to scale replica, obviously. Greek food, probably lots of lamb and all that.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
That'd be a perfect nation for like a waterfront restaurant.
Yeah, because it's on the Mediterranean.
Yeah, you know those photos that people always post of Greece? It's like those, like the really picturesque Greek mountainside village.
Yeah.
It's got like the really white buildings and the blue roofs.
And it's very hilly, like it's on levels.
Yeah.
Like Mamma Mia.
Yeah, that's actually what I was kind of picturing, yeah.
How many more musicals can we
reference? Sisterhood of the Traveling Bands.
I got all night.
Yeah.
I would also, that would be fun if you did a little ride through Mount Olympus hosted by Hercules. That
oh
would
my
be
word.
Fun.
I did think something with Hercules, with the goddesses. What are their names? The Zero to Hero.
Yeah.
When I was little and I wanted to be an Imagineer really bad, I invented this little, I used to like draw and think about rides I would invent. And one of them was Escape from Olympus. And you kind of get on your little boat. It's a flume ride. You get on your boat, you ascend Olympus, and you're kind of there as visitors, but you keep knocking over stuff and messing up stuff because you're mortals in the god realm or whatever. And they're getting mad at you and they want to kick you off. And of course they end up kicking you out and that's your flume. And then you're at the end.
Wow.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like also, what if we put the Muses as a live musical act and
that
they come out
or like
some black gospel.
For a bigger review.
No, I like that, yeah.
Yes.
Or I was also thinking, I actually like that better because I was going to say for live entertainment, Matt, you're better with like music and what kind of instruments they use, but I'm thinking like at Greek weddings they do their boom, boom, boom. I can't do it, but like,
well, they could host. Maybe the Muses could host an actual like review of actual Greek cultural music, like authentic stuff.
Okay,
that
sure.
would be good.
Yeah,
we went to a Greek festival in Louisville when we lived there, and they had live bands, and they teach their kids to dance, whatever kind of dancing that is, all in the circles, you know. And mm-hmm.
Exactly, that's what I was picturing.
They get kind of cray-cray about it, too.
That could be the kid caught, learn how to dance. Yeah.
And good food for Greece, too.
Oh, so good, that Mediterranean stuff. Moussaka.
My two runners-up were one that was rumored to be there at one time, and that is Israel, which I think would be nice. You could have some Jewish culture added into there, maybe a remnants of the Wailing Wall or whatever, I don't know, and you could have like some of the traditions that you see dances and things.
Good luck trying to get your holidays around the world to have something there.
Well, they celebrate Hanukkah. You could talk about Hanukkah. Well, my other one was Spain, which I think would be a fun addition because, again, it's even though it's Europe, it has a different culture. And I think a restaurant that serves some Spanish food, and particularly the Spanish omelets, which if you've never had one, is like the really thick eggs and potatoes. Oh, so good. I'm not a big egg person at all, but we had some people come to our church that were from Spain or lived in Spain, and they made them for us. So good.
You could have paella.
Ooh, yes. Paella is so good. If you don't know, that's like yellow rice with like the seafood in it. So good, so good. But I think a nice – and then maybe you could even have – I know this is kind of controversial, but something to do with bullfighting, or Ferdinand the Bull can be in something.
There you go, Ferdinand.
You know, that's a classic Disney throwback for you there. But I think Spain would be a nice representation there, something in Barcelona, as they say. They don't say they say the th instead of the s sounds there. So
yeah,
they're weird.
Have you guys ever seen the I don't know what show it was on, but it's called like the Offensive Translator.
No,
I think it was like a British version of Saturday Night Live. It's on YouTube. She's talking to the Spanish person, and she's just going. Chalk went up for the Spaniards this time instead of the Asians.
Equal opportunist offenders here on this show. You just look out, whatever culture you are, we'll get to you eventually.
Okay, Matt.
Okay, so number six in our Mad Cue Party is, if Disney World was forced to remove a classic attraction, what would you be least sad to see go? That's a lot of words. Which one would you be least sad about?
I will go first.
Guys, yeah, Derek.
You guys can tell me whether or not this counts as a classic attraction. Ellen's Energy Adventure, because it was Universe of Energy before, but they kept a lot of the same stuff, like the dinosaur stuff. I mean, I really do enjoy that attraction, to be completely honest, even though it's almost 45 minutes long. But, I mean, that's a lot of space that they could do something else with. And a lot of the stuff they teach about energy feels kind of dated, even though it's science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess science always feels dated. But, you know. Anyway, I made science it sound like science has been discovered ever since the beginning of time. But, anyway. So, that would be my answer. Not that I don't like it. I just, Future World needs an overhaul soon. And that could go. Lord. And I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I am always sad when an attraction goes away, no matter what it is. I do not like taking anything away because I think there's enough space that you can just add without taking away. That's just my personal opinion. So this was really hard for me. But if I had to pick one classic attraction that could go away, I would pick the Country Bear Jamboree.
Oh.
Hey, me too.
Why did I not think of that?
That's what I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're in the same boat.
That is a classic, and I do enjoy it. I don't see it as often as I see other ones, but I do. You know, it's nice, but it could go, and I would not be too upset.
Hands down, that is my answer.
I'm so surprised that you said that.
Well, I mean, again, but I mean, you put it on the same level as like Tiki Room or Jungle Cruise, things that Walt touched himself, which is kind of what I interpreted as classic for the parks.
That's what I'd say.
Out of all those things that Walt himself had his fingers on, that would probably be the one that I would be like, well, it's okay.
I think, but it doesn't. I don't want to be careful saying this because I love Walt, obviously, and I love the Country Bear Jamborees and all the, you know, the tender stories of him having his kind of last laugh during the planning and the drawing stages of Country Bear Jamboree. I kind of like that, those things, but at the same time, he really is the only one that I think the majority of the Disney community would be okay going. I mean, they don't have it at Disneyland anymore.
See that?
No.
Yeah.
No. That was the original.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's enjoyable, and I think people appreciate it, but it does feel dated. Whereas something like Tiki Room feels timeless.
And God help if they ever tried to make it undated and like make it relevant.
Exactly, because I do not want
burn the place down
singing Trace Adkins or whatever is popular.
You're going to probably hate this, but they if they made that like a table service Frontierland restaurant and like. And had like the like a Chuck E. Cheese style show, or just made it extra seating for Pecos Bill, and you happen to have these, the singing bears doing their thing. Like, and I say Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese borrowed this idea from Disney, but the interactive little stages and the people turn around, they're singing while you're eating, like Sunny Eclipse over there.
Yeah, I could handle that. That would be nice.
That'd be a good way to do it.
Yeah,
and make Pecos Bill less crazy during lunchtime.
You do love some Pecos Bill.
Love it. Do you not?
I'm at the
it's fine.
House, so
it's
I'll fine. I'll go to Columba Harbor House over Pecos Bill.
Columba Harbor House.
Our next question is, what is the last piece of current Walt Disney World merchandise that you would ever buy for yourself? There is so much tacky crud throughout Walt Disney World. What do you hate the most, Derek?
Hands down, because it's so expensive and tacky, are those sweaters in the Norway Pavilion.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, not the Disney branded ones, but they're actually like a real Norwegian brand.
It's like, it might be an ugly Christmas sweater, but it's not. It's an actual sweater. And I mean, I guess they're not that ugly, but I wouldn't buy it for myself if it were $25. But you look at the price tag and they're like $200.
Yeah, it's like a legit like Norwegian company that brings it in. Yeah.
That makes
they're
sense.
Not Disney produced at all. That's why they're so expensive, because they're like alpaca wool or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are like, you see them and you're like, oh, look at this sweater. And then you see the price tag and you're like, don't touch it, because if we damage it, I cannot afford to buy this sweater.
How much are we talking?
It's like $200.
They're like $200, no joke.
Lord.
Yeah, never.
Next time you're there, just look. You'll fall on the ground and die.
It's made like the chin hair on some kind of mountain goat. That's what they make
it with. Trolls. The chin hair of trolls.
I see.
Oh, well, in that case, let me get my wallet.
They're very enchanted.
I was thinking more in the line of, I guess, the specific Disney merchandise, like, that you would like parky kind of stuff.
Well, that's fine, too.
I have two answers. I'm just going to say the one, and the first is Vinylmation.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff, I don't get that at all. I don't get it. I mean, I know it's like a little Mickey Mouse, but like all the little clever ways they think to put like other characters on them. And now they're kind of moving away from even just being on the Mickey thing, and they're just making miniature things. And I just think they look silly, and I would never collect anything like that. I think it looks awful. It's tacky.
See, I think they're tacky. I just don't see the appeal. Like, pens, are a little more. If I'm going to buy Mickey Mouse, I want it to look like Mickey Mouse. If I'm going to buy Goofy, I want it to look like Goofy. I don't want Goofy's face on Mickey Mouse's body. And that's what those kind of things are. I just think they're. Ugh. Anyways,
my honorary answer is the annual let's just say annual or yearly themed merchandise at all.
Yeah, the t-shirts.
I just think they always look so like over the top, like the big block letters. There's literally nothing that they sell that says like Disney World 2015 or something, or 2014, that's like classy.
Well, Derek buys something every year. That's
wait a second.
Classy, but,
I would never buy the albums or the t-shirts or anything. The one thing I do buy is the license plates that say the year on them, because I put them on my wall. I don't use them as actual license
plates. Well, that's kind of a cool collectible, but you got to admit the artwork is still like over the top.
Oh, the artwork is completely gaudy and ugly, and I would never use it as an actual license plate. But it's just, to me, it's like a memento of I was here this year. I agree with you. I really do. Even with the license plates, I agree with you.
That's like the draw I want. I would love a t-shirt that said like Walt Disney World for every year I have been and gone. But they're not nice looking. I would never wear them except like to bed, and I would still turn it inside out.
Ouch.
Well, my answer is, and this is something I genuinely do not understand people buying at the parks, and that is balloons.
Yeah.
Why you would buy a balloon.
And every time I'm there,
they are seriously like $15. And you, something that's going to last maybe 12 hours if you're lucky. And what do you do with it? Like when you're done, like it just deflates. And what do you do with it at the park? Because it's just something that you usually attach to your child's stroller and it gets in the way. And so $15, you can buy a nice little toy for $15 instead of a balloon. At least the toy is going to last longer and be more enjoyable than that. So why? And yet they must sell thousands of them because they keep selling them. And they would not keep selling them if they did not move throughout the park. So get rid of them all.
I don't understand the new thing they're doing. What's the deal with like the bubble around the Mickey head?
Yeah, it's like the Mickey balloon inside the Mylar balloon.
Those are probably the most expensive ones.
Probably so. And then now they light up even. You can get them where they have a flashing little light in them.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, again, exactly, you're probably talking 15, 20 bucks for a balloon.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Good answer. All right, number 8. What face character, whether this person already is a character in the parks or not, do you think you are most fit to play, Jeremy?
I thought long and hard about this. And I'm so good looking, I could play any of the princes. However, I think that I would like to play, and I think I could play the Mad Hatter. I think that would be a fun
one. I was going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that.
For me? You were going to say that for me or for you?
For you.
I just think it would be a lot of fun because, you know, he's kind of kooky, and so you can really play it up with the guests. So I think I would be a good Mad Hatter.
That's a good one.
I would choose that. I chose that for you in my head.
Thank you, Matt.
Mad Hatter.
For christening me with that honor.
Yeah. Mine's funny, and I don't know who would want to meet him, but it would be funny just to kind of be there and be, hey, that guy. I would love to be Stromboli from Pinocchio. I at first wrote down Captain Hook. And I was like, I would love to be Captain Hook because he's one of my favorites, and Peter Pan is my favorite animated one. But then I was like, well, I'm kind of a husky individual, and I couldn't think of any characters that like had that body type. So I was like, how about Stromboli? I mean,
Winnie the Pooh.
To be fair to myself, I would still need some extra padding to be Stromboli. I'm not like morbidly obese, but I would just love the big mustache and the big cummerbund thing on, and I'd go around. Maybe I could walk around Pinocchio Village House and tell them about all the stupid Jim Corcus stories. You are actually sitting in the fishbowl right now.
Yeah, we'll let Jeremy share those with our audience sometime.
Or, Matt, you could go around collecting children to take
put them in cages.
Off to.
Yes.
That would be a fun thing. Come here, little boy. Get in my cage.
Now, when you say I don't know who'd want a picture with him, I don't think you're being fair to Stromboli because he's not one of those characters who, when you walk by and kids are like, who's that? Like, I think people would know who he is for the most. Maybe not his name.
I still remember I was watching one of the afternoon parades years ago, and Pinocchio and Geppetto were in it. And when Geppetto went by, the lady next to me goes, look, it's Albert Einstein.
Oh, no. Okay, well, then I take that back.
So you would probably get something like, look, it's Mussolini or something like that.
Close.
Stromboli. Okay, my answer is, I thought about this a lot, too, and finally I just settled on something.
I'm going to tell you yours.
Think I know what yours is, too. Go ahead.
Okay. I said Emperor Cusco in human form. Because I could wear the black wig, which it wouldn't be my favorite thing in the world, but I would have to do something. If you look at the picture, he's actually got like a hooked nose, which is what I have.
So don't. I can see that.
And he's just kind of like sarcastic, and he has no tolerance for children, so I can just kind of play with the kids, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like really self-inflated, you know, and it'd just be kind of fun to put on like an arrogant character.
That's
all
you.
The time.
That is so
exactly. I don't even have to put on a character. What am I saying?
I hate children, and I'm arrogant. There you go.
Anyway, I just thought it'd be kind of a fun one to play because you could put character into it.
I obviously did not pick that one for you.
Okay, I was going to say.
I pick for you Peter Pan.
Peter Pan!
Because I'm short small and
sprightly.
And skinny. Sprightly. And sprightly.
Yes, yeah. Well, if you're Captain Hook and I'm Peter Pan, we can fight 200 feet in the air on the Fantasmic ship.
Right. And jump off.
Well, now, or like 30 feet.
Here's
or
what
the
30
feet
to,
tree of life.
Yeah, we need to that. Commit to. Each of us should dress up like that character and go to Mickey's Not So Scary this fall.
Okay.
So Derek can be Cusco. I'll be Mad Hatter and Matt can be Stromboli.
Okay.
Yep.
That will not happen, but I hope it does. I hope it does.
Ride us, fans. Encourage him.
So number 9 is, what Disney quote from a film, a park, or the man, Walt Disney himself, would you want on your tombstone? Like an epitaph there on your tombstone that kind of exemplifies your life or your death. Derek.
Okay. This one was hard because there are a lot of Disney quotes. And so I settled on one that probably if I looked longer, it wouldn't be my answer, but it is for now. And that is, I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me.
Oh.
Except, I know usually tombstones are more like he was a neat guy or whatever.
That's exactly yours.
You
Derek,
took my answer.
But those would be my sentiments from the grave. I had strings, but now I'm free. Anyway.
Ooh, shout.
Jeremy.
Well, mine is...
You're the king of quotes, so I'm curious to know this.
I am. So my answer is a little different. I wanted to be a little surprising because my answer is a little hidden gem for Disney fans is what I'm going to say my answer is. And my answer is going to say this. Jeremy Crittenden, da-da-da-da-da to da-da-da-da, rest in peace. And then it's going to say, if you can read this tombstone, thank the Phoenicians.
Oh my word.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. I thought it was very
so
clever.
Proud.
Hey, yeah, I was.
You didn't say your date. You need to say your date.
I know. You said da 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 for your birth, and I'm like, do you not remember when you were born?
No, I do. I just don't like to put those things out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, social security issues. Okay.
No, I just don't like to feel old.
Mine is from Walt himself. And I'm going to say just one part of the quote, and I can give it to you in context if it needs it. I think this is a great quote for someone on their tombstone. It's very simply, too many people grow up.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Now, the full quote, just to give it context.
So that's why I died. So I wouldn't have
yeah,
to
exactly.
Up.
It's like, you know, this is the sad part about growing up is you die. The full quote. Too many people grow up. That's the real trouble with the world. Too many people grow up. They forget. They don't remember what it's like to be a child, to be 12 years old. They patronize. They treat children as inferiors. I don't want to do that. So, yeah, the whole thing together is kind of wordy and, you know, whatever. But I think that kind of sums up the brevity and the vanity of life. Too many people grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a Winnie the Pooh. quote I found, but I think it's from the book and not the movie, and now I'm going to totally forget what it says, but it was something like, I am lucky to have
I got it.
Say it. Something about saying goodbye.
How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like...
And I would like to quote Winnie the Pooh. Quote the piglet, nevermore.
Nevermore. I was going to say, that's like some kind of weird Edgar Allan Poe, Winnie the Pooh mashup, where he's like axed Eeyore in the face and hit him in the wall.
Oh my word. This got so dark.
Edgar Allan Poe, man. Yeah. Anyway,
it was very sentimental there in a turn.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Death, blood.
There's another good Winnie the Pooh from Winnie the Pooh and Pooh's Grand Adventure, the movie, where Christopher Robin tells him, if there ever comes a day when we can't be together, remember you are braver than you think, stronger than you believe. And that's a beautiful quote.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, A.A. Milne, I mean, he knows his stuff. Yeah. He's a good guy. He's a good author.
If you're having a bad day, just look up some Pooh. You'll be fine.
Yep. P-O-O, enter.
Yeah. In all cases, look up Pooh. You'll just make your day.
Okay.
There's websites for that.
Jeremy.
Let's wrap this party up with our final question, and that is,
what, in your opinion,
is the most overrated experience or attraction at Walt Disney World? And Matt, since you have a doozy, drop the doozy.
Festival of the Lion King.
No.
I mean, death to that. Just death to it. I do not understand for the life of me. I cannot understand why it is so popular. The way it was, and as going around the world, you know, like, I don't get the appeal. It's a fun little show, lots of music, but it's not worth the hype. It's certainly not worth the wait.
Huh. Well, we can agree to disagree, I guess. My answer is Toy Story Midway Mania. And yes, it's because the line gets insanely long, but I understand part of that is because there's just not a lot of things in that park for kids, in that park for children, so they're going to go to that because they can ride it and enjoy it. But even beyond that, like, my brother-in-law loved it. You guys like it, right?
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I mean, it's fine, but...
Maybe if you won every once in a while.
No, it has nothing to do with the fact that I suck at it and always lose.
Oh, it doesn't, yeah.
It really doesn't.
The same reason I hate basketball.
I mean, you just... What makes it different from Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger, Spin? You just
shoot
things.
No.
Okay, it's better. You're right. It's better than Buzz Lightyear.
Okay, all right.
I've ridden it several times, but I honestly would be okay if I'd ridden it the first time and never ridden it again. It just kind of bores me. I don't know. It's fine.
That one.
Keep it there so the children can have something to ride and stay off the big rides. But
we did not ride it in California Adventure, though.
No, we did not.
You didn't ride it there where there's, like, never a wait
for it. Well, there was, like, a 30-minute wait, which week we were there was one of the longer waits.
And arguably fits the theme better in California Adventures than it does in
I'd agree with
Orlando.
That. But I'd agree with that. It looks great.
Anyways, my answer is also controversial. And let me qualify it by saying I enjoyed the attraction. The theming is outstanding. And it's some favorites here. But the reason why I say it's overrated is because I just don't think the thrill, for me personally, is what everybody makes it out to be. And that is the Tower Terror.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
don't
I like
make that face. I'm not going to reach through the computer and strangle you.
I was just waiting for somebody to jump on me. I enjoy it. I love to ride it. But, you know, some people you ride it with, and it is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to them, or they're terrified of it. Like, I've ridden with people like my brother and his friends. I think I mentioned this on the podcast a couple weeks ago. They came down years ago. We rode the Tower of Terror, and this guy is like a tough guy. Rode it one time, and he was like, never again, never again. I hate that feeling of falling. You know, I don't like it. And he was like really scared, and I meet people that freak out over it. I just don't think it's to that level.
It really depends. Lately, since, you know, like the last 10 years when they've done this, it really depends on which randomized whatever order of falls you get. Because some of them are rather boring and more like bouncy than fally, but some of them are quite good.
See, I actually like the bouncy better. And I love that when it shoots straight up and then straight back down where you get that sensation that you're out of your seat, that is the best part. But just dropping, like, I think about when the attraction first opened, all it was you went up and you dropped one time. No. That, to me, is not that great of an experience, you know? So
the best one, there are like many, but the one where you pull into the drop shaft, like, you know it's about to happen, I think there are like two things. They can have as many randomized versions as they claim, but I only think there are two. And one, we pull in there, and he says, in the Tower of Terror, you know. And then it drops immediately. That scares people, because you're in the dark. And the other one where it catapults you up immediately is surprising, but then it's like all that, it's, you know, there's no surprise element. It's like, oh, we're about to fall.
Yeah, but again, you know what I'm talking about when it shoots you up and then you go straight back down, so you get that sensation that you're out of
your seat. That is great. Yes,
that's the best part.
Yeah. Well, for me, it doesn't depend on the randomness. I think it's always fun, and I think it's because the cue and everything is so great. There's that buildup of that when people ride it for the first time, it like they're nervous. You know, even if they don't get scared on rides, they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then when you go forward, it's so unexpected. So that's okay that you think it's overrated, but for me, it does not depend at all on the actual sequence of falls.
Yeah, the rest of it's great. I mean, they've done an outstanding job. But.
Have you guys ever heard somebody, this sounds like a Jim Corcoran story, anybody ever explain the horizontal movement, like the original intent of that hallway?
Mm-mm.
That it was supposed to be like this disorienting feeling as if your elevator were facing upward through the shaft and you were moving up through the shaft, although you're moving horizontally.
I don't get that feeling.
They said if you look at all the pipes and all the stuff on the wall, it's all oriented, like flipped vertically or horizontally, to where it would be as if you were laying on your back moving upwards through the shaft.
I don't get that.
Yep.
Interesting.
There you go.
I don't think it worked out, and I think they just were okay with it.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it.
Yeah. Well, I think that wraps up another Mad Q Party. It's been real fun. Listeners, be sure to send in your questions if you have any, and we'll use them in the next Mad Q Party, which will be sometime in 2015, which is crazy, but that's right around the corner. So until then, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @mad_chatters or twatters.
Twatters?
Don't say that. It's been a long episode. Like us on Facebook. We're over at the Mad Chatters. Visit us on madchatters.net. Send your emails to comments@madchatters.net. And I think that's it. So have a very Merry Christmas, and we will see you next time.